everyone. This is Erwin Lazar, President and Principal Analyst at Metrigy. And welcome to this episode of the Metrigy Metrosite. I'm excited to be joined by Mark Ewing, who's Product Management Director for Google Meet, Meet Rooms, and Google Voice. And we'll talk about how Google's evolving their offerings and partnerships to meet the business need for equitable and hybrid meetings for both in-office and remote participants. In this episode, we'll get Mark's thoughts on a variety of different topics, including how Google is differentiating itself in the meetings market, the options for Google Workplace customers to improve their meeting experience, and how Mark sees AI impacting meetings going forward. So Mark, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Great to be here. Thanks for the invitation, Erwin. Happy Friday.
Yeah. So I always like to start these with, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell our audience how you got involved in the communication collaboration industry.
Sure. I actually am pretty young in the industry. I've been a part of a Google Workspace for about 2.5 years now. And prior to that, I spent 10 years working on Google Maps, working specifically in data quality of the maps. So, you know, if you've ever not been able to find a place that you were looking for on Google Maps or been routed in the wrong direction between, 2012 and the end of 2021, it was probably my fault, but it's not anymore. So I got ready for a new problem space, something that was going to be, pushing my learning and everything like that. And, you know, around the end of 2021 was an amazing time and still is, to be coming into this collaboration space now that, you know, we're really living in a hybrid working world.
And as a frequent Google Map user over the years, I thank you. So it is never.
I'm happy that that's the response. So many people have so many good tips for how we can improve.
Excellent. So tell us a fun fact about yourself. If people got to know you, what would they learn?
Sure. Let me think. Fun fact about me is I have lived in 7 U.S. states. I was born in Kansas. Grew up in Texas, went to school in North Carolina, lived in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia for a little while after that, then California when I started at Google, then New York, short stint in New Jersey, and now back to New York.
Awesome. And so you've got a pretty wide breadth of responsibilities at Google. What do you, tell us a little bit about what you do and what you focus on.
Sure, absolutely. So you kind of covered it in the brief title intro. So I'm in charge of Google Meet hardware and our hybrid meetings, which really, and I like this framing of the role because you really have to think holistically about a hybrid meeting because, you know, what makes a hybrid meeting hard isn't just the room. It's the room plus all the remote participants. So I'm in charge of basically anything there on the software or hardware side. In the room, and then, you know, remote endpoints to make sure that those meetings come together and we continue to evolve the platform to have more inclusive hybrid meetings. And then, about midway through last year, I also took over Google Voice product all up.
So that's definitely unique to have, you know, the hardware side and the software side under the same roof. I know, you know, some of your competitors still separate those out.
Yeah. One thing, just to be clear, I actually have a couple other counterparts who focus more heavily on the software and then also the software integration into the mostly laptop and mobile hardware ecosystem. My focus on the hardware side is on the conference room hardware from our OEM partners and how the software integrates there. But I do touch a lot of the software experiences that impact hybrid meetings on any platform. So, for example, companion mode, which I think you're familiar with, and our upcoming revamp of our meeting layouts with a hybrid focus.
Excellent. We'll get into some of that in a little bit more detail, but let me start off with the reason I really wanted you on this show, besides, you know, your knowledge and experience in the industry, is I spent a couple of days at the Infocom event. For those of you who aren't familiar with Infocom, it's the largest AV focused show in the United States. And every vendor I met with, mostly on the hardware side, wanted to ask me about Google, and they were curious about, you know, where Google's heading, what Google sees and it's in the expansion of Google Meet and how you continue to grow your presence in the enterprise meeting space. So what can you tell us about kind of that big picture, where you see Google Meet and how you see the future of hybrid meetings?
Sure. So Google Meet is here and it's enterprise ready. We've launched over 100 features across web, mobile, and in the room. And this predates me, this accelerated development pathway for Google. You know, I think there's a few aspects that are probably worth touching on, you know, in I think the way we're positioning Meet and the future of hybrid meetings. Like first, foremost, which is not going to be shocking to anybody, is AI. So, you know, we are invested heavily in Gemini and bringing generative AI experiences that enhance the already pretty AI-rich experiences we have in Meet. So first is just the basics of can you hear and see everybody wherever they are? You know, so we've launched studio looks, studio lighting, and studio sound that do just that, especially for remote participants when you are maybe not dialed in from the best hardware, or, you know, you're in a crowded and loud space or poorly lit space. These are the types of features that can, you know, go a step further and using generative AI to make you look and sound your best. You've got our Take Notes for Me feature and an upcoming Translate for Me feature, which really is where I think AI can play a key role in productivity, helping people be present while taking some of the task work out of the meeting, so you can actually be a part of the conversation. There's also meetings of all sizes, right? So, I mean, you know, first there's one-on-ones, which is actually a majority of meetings, but the ones that end up being, you know, the most expensive meetings, and also the ones that are the highest stakes meetings end up being those larger meetings. And sometimes even, you know, giant webinars and company all hands. We've invested heavily in, you know, native live stream support for up to 100K people. And also for those really large meetings, we've also invested in eCDN to deal with that network congestion that you can often get in those types of meetings, and also external partnerships for higher production things with BrandLive. And in hybrid meetings, you know, you really have the combination of, you know, these people in a room, in a conference room somewhere, and then any number of remote participants and how they get drawn into the experience as well. And it's really the way that we deliver that experience and the way it's going to continue to flourish, I think, is through really good partnership mm-hmm. between Google Meet and our partners. You know, we work with a great set of hardware partners to give customers the flexibility they need to be able to support meetings from different sizes, Android and Chrome-based devices from different price points, which because everyone has a different level of price sensitivity. And we're investing really heavily in features that will allow people to participate fully from rooms, mm-hmm. leveraging personal devices oftentimes with companion mode to do things like hand raise, fully participate in chats, and check into rooms, and you know, very soon be able to identify themselves in rooms. And then also get best shots of people in those rooms as well.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to dig into that a little bit as well. But before I move into some of the software-related questions or hybrid-related questions, so how do you focus on interoperability? You know, in our research, we show the majority of companies have more than one meeting application. So how do you provide platform interoperability to allow people to join multiple sure. applications?
Your research matches our research and feedback mm-hmm. that we've heard from our customers. I mean, we're very, very committed to cross-platform hardware interoperability. I mean, this is relevant for any number of meetings. It's often the occasional meeting outside of your native platform. So we've been invested very heavily in bidirectional embedded hardware interoperability with super easy one-touch joins. You can come in, scheduled meeting, one tap, and join a Zoom meeting from Google Meet hardware and vice versa, and the same interaction with WebEx meetings. You can also, you know, join or start ad hoc meetings. And we continue to work with those partners on enhancing those. We recently launched HDMI Present for Zoom interoperability. And then we also have an integration with Pexip for, you know, that allows SIP or H323 protocol-based hardware to join meet meetings.
Yeah, and there's still plenty of H323 stuff out there, isn't there?
Exactly.
Yeah. So let's talk about equitable meetings. So you mentioned that a couple of times. So, you know, I've had a hypothesis in the research side for a number of years now, which is it's the people that have come back to the office, they're in meeting rooms, are often at a disadvantage. You know, it used to be if you were the one person dialing in remotely, you know, you had no idea what was going on in the meeting. Now it's kind of almost the other way around for many users. They can't see chats. They can't see the people that are in the, or at least the remote people may not be able to see the people that are in the room. They may not be able to collaborate around content for the people who are in the room. So how do you solve that? And how are you addressing that that need to make the people who are in the room more visible and easy to hear for people who are remote, as well as you mentioned companion mode, ways that you could allow people who are in the room to be fully engaged in chat, content sharing, and so on?
Yeah, well, I mean, talking about the solution is definitely easier than implementing it. Mm-hmm. It's a really challenging problem. It's one thing that's been interesting. You know, I mentioned I started in this role at the end of 2021, and a lot of the problem statement hasn't changed. And it's not because, you know, we're all bad at our jobs. It's because it's a really, really hard problem, and you've got a lot of really smart people working on it across both the video conferencing platforms and, you know, the OEMs and beyond. So I guess starting with like collaboration from the room, and this is one where we started early with companion mode, but also the in-room hardware, the touch controllers or collaborative touchscreen devices. So, you know, at a basic level, over the last couple of years, we have brought the ability to do a lot of these participation features like hand raise, emoji reactions, participating and seeing meeting chats, seeing like translated captions, those kinds of things. You can do a lot of that stuff directly from the touch controller, but with companion mode, you can get a richer, even more personalized experience from that as well as checking into the room. So like one of my favorite uses of companion mode is if you have someone who is in a meeting, and let's say the meeting is happening in a language that's not their native language, you can dial in with companion mode from the room, and then you can just pull up live translated captions on companion and be in the room with everyone else, but also be able to process the information in your own native language. You know, coming up in Q3, we're going to start letting people identify their faces in rooms with companion, which will go a step further, and it pairs directly with a big multi-feature launch that is coming up this quarter with dynamic layouts and dynamic tiles. Now, dynamic tiles is our own participant slicing technology that pulls people into their own pinnable tiles that behave much like remote tiles do. And with companion, you can identify that's me in that tile and have that personalized experience so that the people on the remote end can see exactly who you are and know your name. Dynamic tiles will also highlight the active speaker in these rooms. And then with dynamic layouts, you know, we're completely overhauling the meeting layout experience, bringing portrait tiles for individuals to maximize screen real estate. And coming back to your point about how in-room participants can feel disadvantaged. One thing that we're seeing in our research is a notion that we're thinking about as the center of gravity for a meeting. And a lot of times, like really where the inequity is felt is when the center of gravity for the meeting is not where you are. If there's five people in the room and one person remotely, or two or three remotely in a presentation, then the three people remotely feel out of touch. Yeah. And if there's, you know, one or two people in a room and then seven people remotely, then you feel that center of gravity going in different directions. And one of the things that, you know, we're thinking about with dynamic layouts is how can we have the people in the meeting be front and center? Yeah. Or the presenting content if that's needed. So the portrait tiles are how we've figured out, okay, we need to remove as much dead space as possible in the meeting and put people's faces and who they are, their expressions, as front and center, regardless of where they are. So it'll show up, remote people will show up better in the room and vice versa. So that's really how we're thinking about these, and of course we're implementing this in a way that will work across all of our hardware.
And safe to say that AI is pretty a pretty important component in this strategy.
It is. It's a buzzword these days in our meetings.
Yeah, well, certainly when we first met at Enterprise Connect in March, that was the everything had to be AI in every discussion, right?
Yeah, otherwise you can't talk about it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
So I know one of the key advantages that you have with Google is it's not just a meeting application, it's a full suite of collaboration applications. And one of the questions we get from our clients is, how do meetings evolve to not just be a point in time, but be able to be part of a complete collaborative environment where you're sharing documents, you're chatting, you're continuing the conversation both outside the meeting and even having conversations before the meeting. So how do you see that or what's your vision of how Meet fits into the overall Google Workplace portfolio?
And I think it's going to continue to evolve. So, I mean, it's deeply integrated now. There's the basics of you can book and manage meetings directly from Calendar. But we've pushed it a step further to where meeting artifacts are attached to Calendar as well. So will Take Notes for Me meeting artifacts also. So they're stored in your Google Drive on a Google Doc. They're attached to the calendar, which is also nice for post-meeting. If I couldn't make the meeting or I want to reference that, then I can see that. You can start meetings when you're in collaboration directly on a Google Doc or a slide or a sheet. You can also bring those directly into meetings. And when you're presenting slide content, you can also control the slide content while seeing your speaker notes directly in Meet. In chat, before meetings, we start group chats with the meeting participants. But you can also start meetings and audio first huddles directly from Google Chat in just one click. That can be with a chat space or with an individual. But I love the kind of before, during, after aspect. This is how we've started talking about this a lot. That foundation that I just talked about is, I think, how you facilitate these things, right? You can kind of see where this could go. And like, we don't have any specific things to announce on that front. But for example, like in Take Notes for Me, you have AIs coming out of meetings, right? Directly in that Google Doc. We're going to continue to enhance those both in terms of accuracy, but in terms of actionability, right? And I think where the opportunity here is that we're talking a lot about is how we can combine these connections in Gemini to take the next steps after meetings, or potentially even nudge before meetings.
Excellent. And I know at Cloud Next, I had the opportunity to attend earlier this year, and security was, other than AI, security was probably the second biggest topic at that event. So how do you leverage the security capabilities within the broader Google and bring those into Meet? And obviously one of the areas we see a lot of concern around is security and compliance around AI. So I'm curious to get your thoughts there.
Sure. I think the biggest piece here is just the security foundation. Workspace and every product in it, Meet included, are built in a way that's secure by design. Cloud native infrastructure. It reduces the attack surface. Allows us to, put up more AI-powered defenses, which right now a lot of this is targeted around like the identity of the actors in the space, like Gmail. We've done a ton of work leveraging AI to tamp down on email spam and those bad users, because those are the same bad users who enter meetings or infiltrate docs or things like that. But I think where Meet really leverages this along with the rest of Workspace is because of these integrations I was talking to you about, right? We the meeting isn't just the meeting anymore, and it shouldn't be, right? Like, if anything, if we're doing our job well, people might have fewer meetings.
Right.
Heaven
It's
forbid.
shorter, more targeted.
Right. But that means that more of that content, more of what artifacts remain from meetings or go leading into meetings, they're all stored in the cloud, right? And the way we integrate with devices as well is also secure. We make sure that there's no need for desktop apps or on-premises software that need to be patched or secured. You have a smaller attack surface, and we do our updates over the cloud.
Excellent. So as we wrap up, where can folks go to find more information or to get in touch with you if they have additional questions?
Absolutely. So a good place to start, a couple of places are workspace.google.com or g.co/workspace/Gemini. I bet you couldn't tell I was reading that. I had to make sure that I got it right. Otherwise I'm going to get in trouble. There's a contact sales button on both of those pages where people can get started really easy with the sales team, sign up for trials. If you're already a customer, then you can reach out to your reseller or directly to your Google account manager.
Excellent. So with that, I'll go ahead and wrap up this episode of Metrosite. Again, Mark, thank you so much for your time and for coming on and sharing some of your insights and where you're taking the Google Meet portfolio. It's obviously an exciting time to be in this space. So please check out the links that Mark shared. And if you like this episode, please share it with your friends and colleagues. Remember, we publish Metrosite on a bi-weekly basis. So please be sure to check out our archives on your favorite podcasting app, channel or on YouTube. Thank you so much and have a wonderful day.
Yes, have a great Friday, everyone.